Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. George Washington Dealmaker-in-Chief by Cyrus A. Anseri reframes the first president as a practical builder of markets, institutions, and incentives, arguing that Washington helped ignite an entrepreneurial spirit that shaped the United States long after the Revolution. Rather than focusing only on battles and speeches, the book highlights Washington as a landowner, surveyor, investor, organizer, and nation builder who understood finance, trade routes, and the importance of credible public credit. Anseri connects Washington's private experiences in property management and commerce to his public decisions on governance, infrastructure, and economic policy. The narrative places Washington in the messy reality of a young country that needed functioning rules for contracts, banking, taxation, and interstate commerce to become more than a political experiment. By emphasizing deals, networks, and institution building, the book invites readers to see the founding era through the lens of economic development and opportunity creation. It aims to make early American history relevant to modern readers interested in entrepreneurship, leadership, and how durable economic systems are designed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Washington, the Entrepreneur, Lessons from Land, Risk, and Opportunity. A core theme is Washington's identity as a working entrepreneur before he became a national leader. The book portrays him as someone who learned early how opportunity is found through information, relationships, and disciplined execution. His background as a surveyor and land speculator is used to show how he assessed value, navigated uncertainty, and fought in long-time horizons. Managing Mount Vernon is presented as more than plantation stewardship. It becomes a case study in resource allocation, operational improvement, and adaptation when conditions change. Readers see how a leader's business habits can influence public leadership, including a preference for measurable results and an instinct for building systems that outlast personalities. The topic also emphasizes that entrepreneurship in the 18th century was closely tied to land, transportation, and access to markets, so developing property and connecting regions mattered as much as inventing new products. By focusing on Washington's practical engagement with enterprise, the book encourages readers to reconsider the founding period as one where economic ambition and national identity grew together, and where personal credibility and follow-through were strategic assets. Secondly, building trust in a new nation, credit, reputation, and the rule of law. Another important topic is the role of trust and credible commitments in turning a revolutionary victory into a functioning economy. The book argues that Washington understood how fragile confidence was in the early republic and how much commerce depends on predictable rules. Attention is given to the importance of honoring obligations, stabilizing public finance, and creating conditions where lenders, merchants, and ordinary citizens believe that contracts will be enforced fairly. Washington's leadership is framed as a stabilizing force that helped make national promises believable, which in turn lowered the perceived risk of doing business. This theme connects political legitimacy to market activity. Without reliable institutions, private capital stays on the sidelines, and long-term projects struggle to start. The discussion also points to the need for standards, consistent policy signals, and a federal structure capable of coordinating across states. By emphasizing reputation and institutional integrity, the book highlights a practical founding lesson. Economic growth is not only about resources, but about governance that makes cooperation rational. Readers can apply this lens to modern entrepreneurship, where trust, compliance, and credibility remain forms of capital. Thirdly, infrastructure and market access, the strategic importance of roads, rivers, and trade. The book emphasizes how Washington viewed infrastructure as destiny for a continental nation. It explores the idea that geography can either trap an economy in localism or unlock scale through connectivity. Washington's interest in improving navigation, developing routes, and linking the interior to ports is presented as a strategic, business-like view of nation building. Rather than seeing transportation as a narrow engineering concern, the narrative treats it as a platform that enables specialization, competition, and the spread of opportunity beyond coastal cities. This topic highlights why early American leaders cared about canals, roads, and river access, lowering transport costs, changes what farmers can sell, what merchants can stock, and where new towns can thrive. It also shapes national unity by weaving regions into shared commercial interests. The book uses this infrastructure lens to show Washington's long-range thinking about economic independence and resilience, including the ability to trade efficiently and avoid dependence on a single external channel. For readers, the takeaway is that entrepreneurship is often constrained or empowered by systems outside the founder's control, and that leaders who invest in enabling infrastructure can multiply private initiative across an entire economy. Fourthly, institutions that unleash enterprise, governance designed for growth. A central argument is that the United States needed more than inspiration to become entrepreneurial. It needed structures that reward productive risk-taking. The book discusses how Washington's era grappled with balancing liberty and order, and how stable governance can create a predictable environment for investment. This topic looks at the broader architecture of a national market, including federal capacity, coordination among states, and policies that support commerce. Washington is depicted as recognizing that fragmentation and weak central authority could choke growth, while overreach could undermine confidence. The emphasis is on pragmatic institution building, setting rules, appointing capable administrators, and establishing norms that reduce uncertainty. The narrative also shows how leadership style matters in young institutions, because early precedents can harden into tradition. By framing Washington as a builder of functional governance, the book offers a business-friendly view of founding principles. Enterprise scales when people know what the rules are, when enforcement is consistent, and when political conflict does not constantly threaten property and contracts. Readers interested in policy, management, or startups will see parallels between building a company's operating system and building a nation's economic operating system. Lastly, leadership as deal-making, coalitions, compromise, and long-term value, the book presents Washington's impact not only through formal powers, but through an ability to align competing interests toward shared outcomes. This topic frames deal-making as coalition building, listening, choosing capable partners, and persuading stakeholders to accept compromises that preserve long-term stability. Washington's leadership is portrayed as disciplined and reputation-conscious, emphasizing restraint and consistency so that agreements hold. Rather than celebrating clever tactics, the narrative favors durable bargains that reduce future conflict and create room for private initiative. The theme also explores how personal networks and credibility can bridge divides, especially in periods when institutions are still young. In entrepreneurial terms, Washington is shown as someone who understood that strategy requires both vision and execution, and that execution depends on people who trust one another enough to commit resources. The reader takeaway is that deal-making is not merely transactional, it is governance through alignment, where the best agreements expand opportunity and reduce uncertainty. By applying this lens to the founding era, the book invites modern leaders to consider how integrity, patience, and clarity can turn negotiation into a tool for building systems that keep producing value long after the original decision makers are gone. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy American history but want more than a military and political storyline, as well as entrepreneurs, investors, and leadership students curious about how economic ecosystems are built. It can benefit a reader's life by offering a practical lens for decision-making. Credibility creates leverage, institutions shape incentives, and long-term value often comes from boring fundamentals like trust, infrastructure, and rule consistency. Seeing Washington as an operator who learned through land management, logistics, and risk can also encourage readers to treat leadership as a craft grounded in systems, not slogans. Compared with similar books that portray Washington primarily as a heroic symbol or a battlefield commander, Ansary's angle stands out by linking the founding era to the mechanics of enterprise and national development. That perspective helps readers connect past choices to modern realities, such as capital formation, regional connectivity, and the importance of stable governance for innovation. If you want a narrative that bridges biography, economics, and entrepreneurship while reinforcing why a functioning market society had to be deliberately designed, this book offers a compelling reason to buy and read it. If you would like to support Cyrus A. Ansary, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.